From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 27th. I'm Abby Larico. Look at this photograph. A shop opening up in South St. Louis wants to make a type of old-school photography hip again.
I hope that Analog acts as a gathering space for people who want those offline, in-person moments.
STLPR's Brian Munoz dives into the inspiration and motivations for this endeavor, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The entire St. Louis region is under an enhanced risk for severe weather today. The National Weather Service says the main threats will be damaging winds, large hail, and tornadoes, which may become strong. Forecasters say the intensity and timing of the storms will depend on how quickly this morning's rain moves out of the area. Right now, storms are expected to develop during the early afternoon in central Missouri. They should be in Quincy between 2 and 6 p.m. and hit the St. Louis and Rolla areas between 4 and 8 p.m. Because of the forecast, St. Louis Public Schools has already canceled the district's aftercare programs. SLPS says parents should plan to pick up their kids at dismissal this afternoon. Athletic practices, games, and club meetings are canceled or will be rescheduled. Check your local district and community event centers to see if they made any plan changes because of the weather. Two police departments in St. Charles County are close to having new drone technology available. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman explains drones as first responder programs.
The new drones will be docked on top of local buildings and can be operated remotely. They are meant to give additional information to police officers or other first responders about a scene. The St. Charles County Council could act tonight to approve agreements with the hosting buildings. The O'Fallon Police Department hopes to have its drones flying within 30 days. O'Fallon will automatically send its drones to calls like a robbery or an assault in progress, says Mike Nunnery. He is the director of the city's real-time information center. But he says they can also be useful for something like a car crash during rush hour.
So we can get eyes on that scene quicker. I could start, getting a wrecker en route.
Civil rights advocates say they are concerned the uses for the drones will expand to routine surveillance. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis man's lawsuit against Monsanto goes before the U.S. Supreme Court today. Justices will hear arguments in Monsanto v. Durnell, 14 months after the Missouri Court of Appeals affirmed a jury's decision to award $1.2 million in damages to John Durnell. Durnell says he got cancer from the Monsanto product Roundup that he sprayed for years outside his Soulard home. At issue is whether federal regulations supersede the state law that Durnell cited in court. A titan of St. Louis media, Ray Hartman, has died. As STLPR's Chad Davis reports, Hartman leaves a long legacy in local media and politics.
Hartman was killed Thursday afternoon in a car accident on Interstate 64. A spokesperson for the Missouri State Highway Patrol confirmed a fatal accident. Hartman leaves behind decades of influence throughout the region. He founded the Riverfront Times in 1977. He sold the paper in 1998 and later became publisher of St. Louis Magazine for about 20 years. Hartman's voice could be heard on Donnybrook and more recently on the campaign trail. He ran against Congresswoman Ann Wagoner in 2024. In an interview on Politically Speaking that year, he said he ran to fix Congress.
I've been in the public eye for a long time, and I just felt this was the time to step up.
Hartman was 73. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Three Catholic churches closed this month as part of the Archdiocese of St. Louis's efforts to address declining attendance. St. Bernadette and St. Matthias in South St. Louis County were absorbed into St. Mark. St. Sabina in Florissant was absorbed into St. Ferdinand. The Archdiocese announced plans to consolidate more than 40 of its 178 parishes in 2023. The organization has also closed several of its schools in that time. South City Catholic Academy and St. Ignatius of Loyola in Warren County are also slated to close at the end of this school year. One of the signature St. Louis events showcasing Chinese culture will celebrate its 30th year this weekend at the Missouri Botanical Garden. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, Chinese Culture Days will feature food, crafts, and performing arts that connect many Chinese Americans to their roots.
The event will feature acrobats from the Grand Shanghai Circus, a performance exploring Chinese music in Hollywood films, and a lesson in preparing Chinese tea. Ladue High School senior Kelly Bien will perform with her lion dancing team. That's a combination of martial arts and costumed performance that originated in southern China, where her mom grew up.
Performing is something that's really sacred to me. So to be able to share what we practice and share that part of my culture and our culture along the way is just like the icing on the cake.
Chesterfield's Chinese Culture and Education Services organizes the festival in partnership with MOBOT. The two-day event starts Saturday. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Girls flag football may soon become an official high school sport in Missouri. Right now, girls at more than 50 Missouri high schools, including 17 in the St. Louis area, play the sport. The state currently classifies flag football as emerging, but in 2 years it is expected to become fully sanctioned, which means girls would compete for state championships. Sheila Sickow has helped expand the game as the Kansas City Chiefs Director of Football Development, and she says it's been remarkable to watch the sport grow.
And that we've created a path for you to make it all the way professional, Olympic, get a college scholarship, and just trying to make that same pathway that men have access to play tackle football.
Illinois girls have been competing for the past 2 years. Last week, Kansas became the 18th state to sanction girls' flag football. A shop in Rolla is now home to a manual typewriter owned by one of the most famous aficionados of the machines. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports on the gift from actor Tom Hanks.
Shane Byrne, owner of Clickety Clack Typewriters in Rolla, wrote to Tom Hanks to thank him for all he's done to promote manual typewriters.
Putting some of his personal collection on displays, also sharing, you know, how to even do things with a typewriter, how to change ribbon. You know, if you YouTube it, you'll see that he's done that.
Hanks wrote back and sent a 1935 Remington Noiseless 77 manual typewriter in perfect condition. Byrne says it's now the star typewriter in his collection. It's on display at his Rolla store. Byrne invited Hanks to Rolla, and if the famous actor comes, he'll be ready to nerd out over their shared love of the machines. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
The vintage vibes are strong this morning. Keep listening. A South St. Louis shop is hoping to make an old-school photography experience new again. STLPR's Brian Munoz takes you behind the scenes at Analog.
Inside a small storefront in St. Louis's Tower Grove South neighborhood, a camera shutter and lights pop off, and a 7-year-old machine hums to life.
So the picture's been taken at this point. The paper just went into the first carrier, and now it's just going to take it around the entire thing to develop it.
That's Tim Garrett. He points as the machine develops film, dipping a strip into more than a dozen buckets of colorful chemicals, one after another.
And voila.
And just like that, a strip of film with four photos on it pops out of the machine. The entire process takes about 3 minutes. The South St. Louis visual artist is one of the people behind Analog, a boutique photo booth studio opening on Morgan Ford Road. The star of the show at the business is a rare mid-century machine that develops photo strips using traditional chemistry. The process has all but disappeared outside of a handful of booths in big cities. Hannah Hamer is Analog's co-owner. She says she's marked special occasions and travels over the years with portraits made in the film photo booths, but
I really wanted one in St. Louis. I hated that I had to travel to these places to get to one or to have access to one, so that kind of began my journey with trying to source one myself.
It turns out that finding an increasingly rare photo booth isn't an easy feat. The hunt led Hamer to message photo booth operators around the world before connecting with a lead in Italy.
He put me in contact with Tim, and we found out that we lived in the same neighborhood. It's crazy that all of my research never led me to him on my own.
Garrett is a longtime Shaw resident who moved to St. Louis from the Ozarks decades ago. He's an artist deeply embedded into the niche world of photo booths and spent years collecting and operating the machines. He even helped run the International Photo Booth Convention. The limitations of a photo booth, Garrett says, are part of its whimsy.
There's something about the constraints of the booth, the curtain that you pull that gives people a sense of comfort and privacy, that I think they take photos that they wouldn't take in any other place.
Garrett built an impressive collection of booths over the years and often rented them out for events to support his artistic endeavors. But now, he's down to one chemical booth. a 1950s era English Photo Me Model 17. It's just the kind of analog machine Hamer was hunting for.
You can try to replicate it in digital booths with edits and programming and stuff like that, but you're never going to get what this kind of machine produces. And every single strip is unique and special, and that film process just really can't be replicated.
The film strips that Hamer speaks of have a beautiful, slight sepia tone to them and a fine graininess. Each of the four frames of the print have their own unique character. Small imperfections and bleached areas where light has leaked onto the film make each strip even more charming, stripped away from the highly curated and edited images flooding social media. But if someone is looking for that modern-day color film strip, Analog also has a digital booth in its lower level, along with a gift shop selling keychains, totes, and other film-themed trinkets. During the business's soft opening, crowds clamor around the metal and wood booth that sits in the center of the 1900s-era brick building on Morganford. Its floor-to-ceiling windows cast a glow on the sidewalk outside. Hamer and Garrett mingle with friends and family as they celebrate the endeavor they're embarking on.
I really hope that Analog becomes a staple for people in the neighborhood or people in the city. I just hope people love it as much as we do.
Analog opens to the public on Friday, May 1st. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
To see photos from the vintage photo booth, visit stlpr.org. Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Our theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. Right now, Paul Simon. I love to take a photograph. And earlier, Nickelback. And I'm not sorry about it. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. If you took-